This is amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you.
First of all, thank you for doing this. Like, I know how busy you are. We don't get to do this that much. And it's like, I know we both try. And what's funny is every time I kind of watch you from afar, I'm like, this guy's either in my head or he's doing similar things. Like, we have such parallels in our lives that it's almost mind boggling sometimes for me when I see it. And I know we're doing different things, but we're also doing very, very similar things. And then recently I got super excited, and I don't really even use the word excited, but I got so excited that you had a baby.
Yeah.
So I want to start with your dad. Like, you're a dad now. So my son just turned 3.
I know.
And let me set this up. So, cause I want you to speak on this, and I want to start with this because, so, you know, my alarm goes off at 4 every day. I'm sure yours goes off at 2, you know, but, and this morning we wake up to my son was not feeling very well. So we brought him in our bed, and then about 4:15 a.m. of him laying on my chest, and I'm sitting there wide awake going, I need to get up and I need to get out of here. But it was so, you know, that it's just such a moment, right, with your son. Then he starts, now he's throwing up on me and my wife in the bed. And, you know, we're scrambling clean up, but I get up, I let my wife handle it, and I still show up at work, you know, get my routine in. And so, first of all, congratulations on your son.
Thank you.
I'm so
congrats.
And it's like, so now the way I see it, it's like we had some similarities. Now there's even more similarities. And I know you're dealing with that balance of, and you know, I don't like the word balance, but just life, right? And your pursuit and what you're trying to accomplish is a lot.
Yeah.
And now how are you handling dad life?
Yeah.
And because this is new to you, so.
Yeah, it's super new. It's certainly a blessing, but I think we both have even more in common because we both happen to have partners, wives, loves of our life who are, they're really the superheroes. Like, they're the most incredible people ever. And we couldn't have the flexibility or do what we do with that type of commitment if we didn't have them.
100%. You know, recently had a talk with my wife about that because she, you know, like any couples, we have our moments where we're arguing or whatever. And she made a great point. It was like almost like a slap in the face to me, is that she's like, I let you do you. Like, I let you work from 4 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night. Like, I let you go after this dream that you have. And without being a nuisance, but rather being a support system. And it was really an eye-opening moment for me to say, you know what? She's a 100% right. She supports me in this because it is long hours and a very, you know, like you just said, you just got off the phone for 4-hour call. Like, these are the kind of things that we have to do to be able to achieve what we're trying to achieve.
I mean, it's really, it's certainly a blessing, and we're fortunate. There's a bigger picture. It's like, we want to do the things that are important to us, but at the same time, why do we want to do the things we want to do? Well, I think because we want to add value to the people around us. Our fitness and wellness is important to us, but it always goes back to family, and we want to set a great example for our family, you know, and be. It's interesting because I remember reading about someone growing up who was an incredible community person, doing everything for the community and working so hard, and people loved him in the community, but he never got to spend time with his family. And it's like the gift and the curse. You want to help people. It's like we have this ego thing in yourselves that you want to help people, but the most important people to help is your family.
Yep.
You don't want to be loved by strangers and disliked by family. You know, we want the family to love us, and hopefully we have like strangers that become friends and people who are close to us as we get older in life, who we can add value to their life, but we never want to forget about home base.
100%. Yep.
So
that's why I think it's important that you don't So, you know, you hear a lot about work-life balance. And for me, I've always viewed it as work is life, life is work. Like it's one and the same. And if you don't, and especially being like in charge, we set our schedules up. Yeah. You know, me and Gunnar talked about it last time we were talking, is like, we can't complain about the schedule that we set up.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important to set up a schedule that does include family time, that does include making sure we're giving back to them just as much as we're giving back to everybody else.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you mentioned the word balance when we started, but you know, it's never really a healthy or 50-50 balance. There's never really a true balance. It's always like you're either spending a lot of time with family and less time at work, or a lot of time at work and less time at family. It's not going to end up that way. Which goes back to our point about, you know, my wife, like she's got the hardest job. I mean, I sometimes feel sorry for myself, and this certain things are hard, but keep it in perspective. Like everyone's hard. It's not to say that, you know, Oscar's heart is different, your heart is different, everyone's heart is their heart.
Everybody has their heart.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, it is what it is, and we have to do the best we can dealing with the things. And sometimes things get overwhelming and you're having a tough time, and I just keep remembering, you may be having a bad day, but you're not having a bad life, and just keep moving forward. You know?
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted you to talk about, because I hope it's fresh in your head, it's been so long that it's kind of, I have like vague memories of it. I wanted to talk about a little bit about the transition that you made when you knew you were gonna open up Anatomy, but you didn't really have anywhere to go. And that's kind of like where we kind of grew our relationship. And not so much, and again, it goes back to, we've never really hung out that much.
I know.
You know, because we essentially have the same job.
Schedule too.
Schedule, you know. But I want you to know, your presence in my gym elevated my game, like immediately. And I'll never forget, there was a time, and you might have forgotten, but there was a time where you could see the stress on my face and you could see like I was struggling. And I was standing by one of the, you know, like juice bar sections of the gym. And you simply just asked me, when are you getting your workout in? And I said, I hadn't worked out really in 3.5 years. And you were like, and when I say that,
yeah,
our working out, like really working out. Of course, you know, we get in a quick one every now and then. But during that time, I could honestly say I never really had my time to work out.
Right.
And you literally were like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. Like, that's unacceptable. And you just checked my ass, like right then and there. Yeah. And from that day on, literally from the day you said that to me till today, I haven't missed a workout. Like I've been so committed to self-improvement. And then it's really been like something I've been like holding on strong to, as far as my message to people, is that if you're not taking care of you, you certainly can't take care of other people. So maybe you can talk about that a little bit, because I know that's prevalent in your life, and talk about what fitness and working out is to you, like why it's your anchor. I think we both share that in common, that it's our foundation, it's our anchor.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was transitioning 1,000 years ago,
it feels like it, right?
It's really not that long
ago. It feels like yesterday and also 20 years
ago. I knew that there'd be a significant amount of time where I had stopped working at the place I was at, and I was going to be on my own. I needed a place to bring clients. And I know that you really weren't allowing people in there, but I did know you. I felt like I know you well enough to at least ask. And I always had a great deal of respect for you. And I just called you up, and I said, hey, I'd love to be there. I know that you have a business to run and you have your own team in there, but I'd like to work out of there, and you know, we'll make it whole, and but be completely respectful. And you know, if you're going to work with clients in a place, you're not doing your own thing. You're doing it to add value to the community, and that doesn't. It could be a hello, a friendly smile. It could be helping someone. It could be picking crap up and cleaning up, and I know I
do. Which, by the way, that's what you, again, you came in and added value immediately, and you didn't have to, because I've had the opposite happen before. I open my doors up and someone, you know, messes up the community and the culture, so.
We all make a decision. When you go in somewhere, are you gonna leave it better than the way you found it or add value? Or are you gonna just take it for granted and take advantage, right? You know, you said yes. So it's important to me to make sure you don't want that person to regret saying yes. You want them to go, wow, that was positive. That's really important.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me in regards to, so thank you for that.
Yeah. So, no, thank I mean, you again,
it, and by the way, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Like
a lot of fun.
Joe in there in the morning, like, I mean, we would have, I mean, some of the best, my entire life, some of the best chats, talks have been 4 a.m. with like-minded people who are, you know, had their challenges, but we live to fight another day. And, we get up because it's our time.
Yep.
It's peaceful and we can do what we want. We can have a laugh and we're all doing things a little bit different as we move in the same direction. And I was like, I love those times. I loved it here. I loved it the other places I've worked. I love it at Anatomy. And we have a special group there in the morning, you know, and it's super quiet. We have some great chats about life.
Yeah.
That's the best time.
The best time.
Like sometimes I remember having great talks with Joe and asking him questions about being a father. And I was like, man, I hope I'm, I said, how do you do it? And he would just say, I don't know, you just keep moving forward, you know? And he, you know, he's your, one of your dear friends in life, but he's, I consider him a friend. I consider him a dear friend. I know we don't talk rarely, but if I ever need him, or he's a wonderful human being, you know? You guys are lucky to have each other. We've talked about that. But going back to training, I feel, for me, a couple things. Personally, I don't feel right if I don't train. I need to sweat. It's blood flow, it's healthy joints, muscle. I think it's, you know, it's a huge part of my day. Like many people, and I know yourself, the reason I was trying to be hard on you in that moment is because I know what it does for me and I know what it does for you, because you see it, people wear it like an energy and you feel better, right? You just feel better.
Yep.
And then over time, if you don't take care of yourself physically, you know, mentally, it just eats at you and you're just not in a happy place. And we all know people train for that dopamine hit. It's like medicine, you feel great. So I remember when you started doing it, I was like, you know, he's getting in, you know, you're always in great shape. You look fantastic, but you get in this amazing shape and you start to feel it, but people see it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell people to do things or instruct people if you don't live it. Look at the society we live in now, right?
Right.
Everyone wants to appear successful. They don't actually want to be successful.
Right.
So it's like, how can you instruct someone on doing a push-up or a pull-up or being physically fit and actually pushing yourself unless you actually push yourself?
Right.
Like, you have to do it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, running 80 miles. You could, whatever you do in the morning, you're pushing yourself, right? Yeah. But you can't instruct someone or give advice unless you've experienced it, you know?
So go a little deeper with that, because I think that is something that young people need to hear. And I say, and it's funny that now we're saying young people when I still would like to think I'm still, you know,
we're
young.
Old.
But, but you know, obviously that it shows. But I would still say me and you could probably take out every 21-year-old that's out there. So I'll also say that. But yeah. But that being said, you know, what's your advice to young people that are trying to, because I get this all the time, you know, someone sits down, how can I own my own gym? How can I be a great trainer? How can I do this? And it's like, but then you kind of give them the rules of life or the rules, and then they completely do the opposite. Yeah. So talk a little bit about that commitment if you want to be great, you know, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I heard something recently about advice, like we're giving other, you know, it's younger people, but it's not just younger people, maybe people in our field and people who are trying to just, as we always say, become the best version of themselves. You know, we give advice based off of what we experienced And that's the best advice. We believe it's the best advice, but it might not be the best advice for them. And I put it on them, Manning. I always say, you just tell me what's important to you, and then don't worry about what I think. You tell me if you're doing everything possible and necessary to get you there. You tell me.
Right.
Because you'll know. You don't need me. You know, so.
That's actually a good point. That what I heard from that is, what is important to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what's important to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's from my perspective.
Right.
That's from my lens.
Right.
And then if you tell me it's important to you, then you would think they would do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? It goes back to like the Gunner thing. You made your schedule, don't complain about it, but
yeah.
You just told me it was important to you. I'm just paying attention to what you do. If it's important to you, people will see it. And if they don't see it, that should tell you something.
Right.
Right? So
is it really important to you?
And, then you said, what can you know, to be great, you need to define what great is. Like we say, want to be successful, I want to be successful. Do you even know what that means to you?
To you, exactly.
To you.
What does success look like to you?
Yeah, some people are like, I want to be a billionaire. I'm like, I mean, I have a lot of people that say that's not success to me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're, you know, super wealthy, but like you're loathed by people, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm sure it's checking a few boxes off and a little bit of each. Like we all think that, but you have to figure out like what's important to you. I talked to a young lady the other day. And I said, how's your training? And she said, it's good. And I said, are you making progress? She goes, I don't know, it's hard to tell. I said, why is it hard to tell? She said, because, you know, I'm not so sure what I'm trying to do. I'm like, you need to kind of figure out what's important to you. It's like getting in a car. You get in a car, you don't know where you're going. You're going to drive around in circles. We've heard that a million times. And it doesn't have to be, I'm not talking about rowing in the world championships or running a marathon.
Right.
It could be, I want to get in the best shape of my life. What does that mean? That means I want to be able to do 20 push-ups, 10 pull-ups, run a mile in this time, and just get there. These little markers, so we just work towards something. That's important because you need those small wins to feel better.
Right.
And that's what it is. At the end of the day, we all want to feel better. So if you can define what it means to you, if it's important to you, and what those goals are for you, that's it. You know, it's hard for us to give advice to other people because we've lived a very different life.
Right.
Right? Very different.
Well, we all do.
You know? Yeah.
We don't know their home situation.
Yeah, right.
We don't know their genetic background. We don't know their vices.
We know very little.
Exactly.
We know what
Most
we know.
Most of the time we know what we know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then I have a good friend. He always says, well, you don't know what you don't know. You don't. You don't.
100%.
You're not aware of it. It goes right over your head. He goes, I wasn't aware of that. And he always says, no kidding. That's the whole point. So, you know.
Well, I think that's why also we never stop learning.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you only know what you know, there's more to know.
Well, with that first thing I mentioned about advice, this is how it was said. If you think that you have amazing secrets, a program for yourself with life, your family, your wife, and you have a lot of great answers, just know that number one, you're one of the few. And number two, even though you're there, I firmly believe that we should be open-minded enough to know that maybe there's another way that could be better.
Right.
You know, because if you think you have all the answers and you've arrived.
I actually, you know? It's funny that you said that because, you know, I'm really big into cold plunging right now. Mm-hmm. And I get made fun of all the time for it. Mm-hmm. And this comedian did this like hilarious spoof where he's actually in a jacuzzi and he's like acting like he's in a cold plunge and making fun of us cold plunge people. And it really made me think that like, yeah, it works for me and I like it. And when I say like it, you know, I don't like it, but I like the benefits of it. But there are different ways to do things. And there's other things that could be more beneficial for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe that's just not for them. And to your point, you do have to open your eyes to allow people to find their way rather than kind of forcing your way. And I think that's big in relationships. I think a lot of time in relationships, whether it be your spouse or your friends, you almost want them to do what you do, but maybe that's not their path. Yeah. And maybe you have to respect their path and what they do. So do you find that in your with your wife and stuff? Are y'all on kind of separate paths, but the same, you know?
I can't tell you how different my wife is from me.
And me too, by the way. And, you know, and by the way, both of our wives are from the same place, which is funny. Yeah. Another notion.
Well, it's crazy. You know, I think that I'm learning if you really love someone, you have to appreciate why they do it. Even though if they don't do it your way, you have to appreciate they do it their way. And you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
That's their way. And you don't have to agree with their way. But if you love them enough, you truly want them to be themselves. Because the last thing you want is them to be in a box trying to pretend to be something. Because that's a very unhappy place to be.
100%. For anyone. Yeah. For anyone. Yeah, and then especially your spouse. Like, you definitely don't want that. And I've been guilty of... What I try to tell people all the time is that when I talk about change and becoming your best self, I'm not talking about changing the core of who you are, like changing your personality, the things you like and things like that. It's more about improving that person that you are. And again, it goes back to maybe that's a different way than the way we do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody has a different love language too. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a puppy dog. I got to be like, you know, loved on, you know, whereas other people have different ways. So I think it's very important that we, in our relationships in general, that we really listen and not force, And I mean, I'm, you know, still working. I'm a work in progress, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you said it very well. I think life is, you know, trying a bunch of different things and figuring out what is most optimal for you. It makes you feel your best. And then, you know, having enough awareness to know that being a great communicator is being a great listener. Yeah. And if you're wise enough to never miss an opportunity to shut up and listen, because you know what you know. Yeah. You don't know what they know. Or you think you know what you know, but let them speak it. Let them say it. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's been said, but we're like, they're talking, we're shaking our head, but we're not listening. We're thinking about what we're going to say and how we got it figured out. And it's like, don't wait for your turn to talk. Process it. When they stop talking, don't say anything. Give it some thought. Don't react. Then respond.
That's probably one of the best advices anyone can give anybody. Like, you know, reacting versus responding. Like,
and I did my whole life reacting, and by the way, it caused me a lot of hardship.
I mean, me and you both.
Yeah,
like, and I mean, trust me.
Yeah, and I
living by emotion.
Yeah,
being triggered.
Yeah,
most of the time, and I know this happened to you. Most of the time, an argument is really just. An argument is just two people having a different perspective on something. Yeah. That's it.
For sure.
It's not that you're really arguing about what the argument is. You're arguing it because you see it differently than the other person. But what happens most of the time is if you can finally get the anger and the emotion out of it, you typically come with a conclusion of, oh, I see what you are seeing.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. And now, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But you know, at times. And then I'll go back to what you said earlier about why you work out, and it's to feel good, right?
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is the better I feel, the better I respond, right? Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like when our back hurts and we're tired and we didn't get our workout in and we didn't do the cold plunge or whatever, and someone does something that affects us, we usually react in a negative way.
Yeah.
We snap or we say something we shouldn't have said or whatever. But if you've done all that, then it's almost like you're preparing yourself for the stresses that come. So when you have to deal with upset employees or, you know, dealing with a landlord or whatever, you're usually able to respond better, right?
Yeah, 100%. So. 100%. I mean, I think in general, you know, the theme is like, if you take care of yourself, when I say take care of yourself, just do your best to try to get the best sleep you can, eat, don't eat crap, because then it lowers your self-esteem.
Right.
Like, do the cold plunging, do the recovery things, train so you can feel good. You know, we all want to look good, but if you feel good, you probably feel better about the way you look.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then what I learned, I went away to the Vipassana silent retreat.
Yeah. Oh, you got to tell me about that.
That's, oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's intense.
No, that was intense. But I learned so many lessons there, and that's something that I didn't want to do. And a lot of people don't want to go to those things because you're going to have to open a lot of doors and unpack a lot of stuff that people just don't want to do. And I'm not saying it's for everyone.
Yeah.
It was for me, and it helped me tremendously.
So tell...
But I don't tell people to go there. I want you to know that.
All right. Yeah. Good, because I'm not going, but...
Yeah. I mean,
but tell them, tell the viewers a little bit about what, where you went, because this is fascinating to me.
So one of my business partners, Chris, he went, his brother went.
Has Chris gone?
Chris went.
Chris went too?
I think he went twice.
Oh, wow.
I'm almost positive. I know he went at least, I know he went once. He might've went to like some of the shorter stays, but at least twice.
Yeah.
Maybe three. So it's called Vipassana meditation, and it was a 10-day retreat. And when you go there, there's no talking for 10 days.
You're not allowed to open your mouth.
No. I mean, there's a brief moment that you can ask the instructor questions in private.
Yeah.
But there's no talking. There's no eye contact. There's no music. There's no books. There's no journaling. There's no writing. There's no paper. And I was like, that's kind of silly. I always think if I had my phone, I could delete all those pictures, right? But it's like, if I had a journal, cause I like to write, I could journal, and this would be an amazing opportunity to write.
Of course, for 10 days.
But they're trying to strip everything away from you. Because if they strip everything away from you, you're forced to deal with your shit. And it's amazing how it happens on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, it really happens on its own.
Is there any, like on certain days, did you have certain things happen?
I think it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they say when you get there, they take your wallet and they take all your stuff. And then if you want to leave, they'll give it back to you.
Yeah.
But they just want to strip everything away from you. So when it starts, you meditate 10 hours a day for 10 days. So you sit still in a room that's pretty dark in silence for 10 days. Now, the beginning is like torture. Like you, when you sit down and close your eyes, and I sat in a chair, I didn't sit on the floor. I wore my watch, and people say, why would you wear your watch? I don't know, I just like wearing a watch. And I looked down and I had been meditating for like 5 minutes.
And it felt like an hour.
It felt like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm like,
and you had,
I'm not going to make it, you know,
9 hours and 55 minutes left. Yeah,
but it's not in a row. They break it up.
Okay.
Yeah, they break it up. You get up and, you know, so you wake up at 4:30, you meditate for an hour, 2 hours actually. Then you have breakfast at 6:30, and then you have another meditation. Then you have a break. Then you have another meditation. Then you have lunch at 11. And then you're done eating for the day by 11:30 for the day. I mean, I lost like 11 pounds in 10 days. And I was like, I'm going to do push-ups and sit-ups in your room. And someone asked the question before we started, are we allowed to work out? And the guy said, look, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
However, you're not here to work on your gun show.
Right.
You're here to work on you.
Mine.
Right. He said, and I promise, if you do that to the best of your ability, your gun show will be better than it's ever been.
Right.
And he was right about that. Like,
yeah.
He was like, it's another level. So we started meditating, and after like the third day, I was like, so you start on a Wednesday, and it was like Thursday, Friday, it was Saturday. Or let's say I call it Sunday. On Sunday, I was thinking, I have another week in here. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it.
Yeah. Because which is obviously a natural response.
It's like
this.
Torture.
Yeah.
Like it feels like torture.
Yeah.
And this one was in Massachusetts in the woods, and that's the one Chris went to. So I went to that one. And people are walking up the trees and they're like petting trees. And then you realize why, because there's no human contact.
Right.
So that's why like solitary confinement kills people.
Right, exactly.
So they're like, and I walk over the tree and I put my hand on it and you're like, you kind of get it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but one of the trickiest things is that you go back in your head and you realize how you reacted and the way you've treated people because you've treated yourself poorly and because of your value system and the way you appreciate some things and don't appreciate things that could be the gold in your life. And it's not, Vipassana is not a religion, it's not a political thing. Vipassana is just the law of life. If you do your best and you're kind, you're a good human being, it comes back to you.
Yeah.
And by the way, Vipassana is so amazing because it's free, but you don't pay for it.
Really?
It's free.
No way.
Completely free. And at the end, if you want to make a donation, you could give $50, you could give $1,000. Jack Dorsey, I think he gave $15 million. He's a CEO.
Yeah, of course.
He was like, I thought my business would plummet when I was away. When I got back, it went through the roof because I was clear-minded. And that changed everything.
Yeah.
The way I treated people, the way I treated business, this is what he, like business partners, the way he treated team members, the way he treated himself.
Think that's why he sold it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably. Yeah. Because he was like, I think it's just this special tool, Manning, that helps you keep things in perspective.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I understand why they wouldn't go. They're afraid to address some of the things in their life. It's very simple.
Right.
You know, and it's like I said before, I'm not telling people to go. I just know how impactful it was to me. And I noticed it on my business partner. I noticed it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I went, by the way. I noticed the change in him.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that's not bullshit. You know, right. I could see it.
Right.
And I was having a very difficult time because I was very stressed. I want to do my best and I was very frustrated. I was very tired. And I know I wasn't acting like who I am.
Right.
You know, so it kind of was a wonderful reset for me.
And when did you do it?
I think it was right before COVID.
Okay. Yeah. Would you do it again?
I would do it again.
Yeah?
I would do it again. I mean,
what do you think would cause you to want to do it again? You think?
Well, I mean, you know? I just know how beneficial it was for me. I had like a series of things happen that was like the perfect storm of being overwhelmed. And I was like, man, I gotta go away.
Yeah.
Like I do something.
Right.
And I didn't know it would do anything for me. I was just hoping.
Yeah.
And then when I got out of there, it was like I was levitating. I was like, man, I feel like a different human being.
That's amazing.
And my wife was like, this is weird, you know? But it takes, the reason you asked me before, like each day, it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But it takes like 10 days because what it's doing is because of the state that you're putting yourself in, think about how many times you're training, you're yelling, there's music, you're on your phone, you're on a computer. Like that's gone.
Right.
For 10 days, there's zero of that. So you're actually working on the neuroplasticity of your brain and it's altering the neuroplasticity of your brain and it's scientifically proven.
Oh, it makes 100%.
Yeah, they study like monks and like after they meditate and it shows a change in the neuroplasticity of the brain. That's why the 10 days is necessary because you can't achieve that in 2, 3, 4 days.
Right, right.
People who leave it like 5 days or 6 days, they were like right there.
Oh.
And my friend left after like 6 days. And then as soon as he
left. Because he just couldn't take it anymore?
He was just like, fuck this. I don't need this place, whatever. Yeah. I don't need this shit.
Yeah.
And then after he left, he was like, fuck, I can't believe I did that. And then he went back and he finished.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. But it's a wild experience and I would go back.
I remember you posting about it. I remember just going like, wow, that just seems intense, really intense.
Right, and everyone says, you know, I'm a warrior and I'm this.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I say, you think you're a warrior?
Sit still for 5 hours.
Good luck with that. Let me know if you're a warrior. Let me know how that goes for you. Because if you're sitting there and you're trying to calm down and like process what you're doing with your life, like it's like, some people like have a panic attack. I mean, a lot of people have to leave.
Yeah.
They have like 70 cushions on the left for men, over on the far right, 70 cushions for women. And after like 2 days, there's like 15 empty cushions and then 20.
Is there a rule too on like sleeping?
Like that you have to sleep?
You know what I mean? No, I'm saying like, cause it seems like it might mess your sleep up too.
Oh, dude, I'm going to tell you, for nine nights, I haven't had a dream in 30 years. I had the most vivid, wild dreams. I've never felt so rested in my life. I mean, I was like...
So you slept like a baby.
Oh, my God.
All right.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, like a baby.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to sleep.
Yeah.
You will sleep. You know, I mean, it fixes so many things. As soon as I posted that thing, I had people reach out to me. I had one question. Well, it made me a better father and a better husband. I'm like, bro, if you really care about your family, you don't have to do that. But you need to do something like that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the ultimate commitment.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it was wild.
So tell me a little bit about just life as right now. You know, like, is there any news, any other than you being a father? But I know anatomy's growing.
Yeah.
I've been so busy. I would love for you to catch me up on where anatomy is.
Yeah.
And just, you know, let everybody know, like, what y'all are up to and what you're doing.
Well, our newest location is in the Grove.
Which I did get to visit that one.
That's right.
Spectacular.
Yeah. It's been super. Chris did a great job with that. He's a construction master and he's good at so many things. I say it all the time. But that's a wonderful location. It's thriving. And we're opening up a location in Doral. They're working hard on that one. They're doing a great job.
When do you expect to open that one?
In March.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, right around the corner.
Around the corner. We have the new location in Miami Beach coming.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, so when we opened up Anatomy originally in Sunset Harbor, it's a smaller location. I mean, it does well.
Yeah.
It's positive. We have an unbelievable team there, you know, from our energy experts at the front desk to the body architects, the general manager of the AGM. I mean, everyone's incredible there, but we need more space. So
is it the same people that you started with or has it?
Oh, you mean the team?
Yeah.
Well, we have,
or has it evolved?
We have core pillars that are still there for
okay,
sure.
Okay.
We do. We have a lot of new team members as well.
Yeah.
But the 12-12 location is going to be an epic location. It's a large location. I mean, there's almost like 6,000 feet just outside of turf area.
6,000. Oh, I thought you said 60 at first. 69. I was like, you're building a college football stadium? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
No, you actually showed me a rendering that was the sickest thing I've ever seen. So I'm obsessed with high ceilings. And y'all have probably the highest ceilings I've ever seen in a gym in my life.
Yeah,
it's like, what, 80 feet or something?
That's crazy.
And tell us where that is in relation to where it is now. So one now is in Sunset Harbor.
Yeah, so it's like three blocks away.
Okay.
South. Right across from the movie theater in South Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a brand spanking new building,
brand
right?
Brand new, yeah.
And there's an actual movie theater on the roof, right?
Yeah. A turf movie theater on the roof. We're trying to do a lot of outdoor activations there.
Yeah.
It's coming along. That'll be, a few months down the road, but it's going to be a special location. We're really excited for that. We're excited about the growth and it's a lot of hard work, but I think the overall message that I'd like to say is that it's a special team. You know, everyone works so hard. Our COO and partner, David Geller, is a really special person and works very hard. We couldn't do this stuff without him.
Yeah.
Chris is, he's an amazing dude, man. He's an amazing dude. Like, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, people see a facility. I don't know if it looks easy or not to people, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of weight in his shoulders. And that's hard, man.
Yeah.
Like the way they're doing all that stuff on a grand scale like that. And you think about, like, you have like a large population of members going through all these clubs. There's a lot of things to account for.
Right.
We learn from each location and all, but I mean, he spearheads that, you know?
Really. Yeah.
And having someone like Randy.
How is old Randy? I haven't seen him in a while.
He's doing great. He's got a granddaughter.
All right.
So he and his wife are super happy and their family is growing in the most positive way. So I think the point is, like, having a team like that is,
yeah,
it's really special. I mean, there's so much going on that, you know, there's calls, there's texts, there's emails, and, you know, person can't get back to you. You got to talk later in the day. You got to talk early in the morning. It's, I think we have to really go out of our way to over-communicate, talk about things, and, you know, we make a lot of those decisions collectively. So we can say, hey, you know, this person might think this is best. I might think one thing is best. And then there may be another perspective that's best. And then we think about pros and cons and what we want to do. But I think that's the biggest plus or testament to our team. We can have these awesome conversations and find solutions and move forward.
Yeah.
Because you always want to be surrounded with people that their goal is to move forward and do the best you can, you know? And we, you know, you have moments, your ego-filled moments, I want to do this, and I just want to do this, and because I want to. Because I want to is not a compelling argument.
It's not an answer.
It's not a compelling argument.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, and I've had mine, like many of them. So I always go, man, that didn't help. That's more of like stalling the process and not adding value, Mark, and you need to smarten up. But we've all had it, you know, so.
Of course.
You know, it's been a wild journey. And we're growing, we're looking at other possible projects. And it's a lot. And as you said before, meaning it's your life, man. Like, I remember listening to Dave Chappelle once, and he goes, you know, I work from 4 a.m. to, you know, works on his piece. The guy's a genius, I love Chappelle.
Yeah.
He work from 4 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night, go home, see my kids 20 minutes, go to sleep, do it again. And I thought that was funny, but that's real.
Yeah,
like, I didn't realize that was real. Like, yeah. He wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
So, like, and I'm not saying it's hard. It's just, but my point is that work and life, it just blends, right? And you just do the best you can. You try to give as much time as you can to your family and to the team, and make sure that you're adding value and you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. And as we said before, you don't know what you don't know. You might miss things.
Right.
I didn't do that. Well, you got to get on it, right? And no one's perfect. You just try to be better all the time. Be understanding and keep checking in. Why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why is this important? Why do you want to be here? Do you think you're doing what you're supposed to do? You know, we always want to like hold people accountable and be tough on people. But if we only check in when we want to be tough on people and hold people accountable, do we check in and say, how can I help you?
Right.
Like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing to help this person? You know, because sometimes they're not going to ask for help. Should they?
Well, actually, most of the time they don't ask for help.
And then when they don't ask for help, you assume they have the answers.
Exactly.
So you don't check in.
Exactly.
But
that's actually great advice.
Is, you know,
don't forget to check
in. Yeah, yeah. Check in. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of times if, you know, you walk around and say, hey, how are you? Do you need anything? The answer is usually no. But who knows, maybe they do need something, right? It's good to ask or be proactive. You see someone who's been doing like 8 or 9 sessions, they might need a protein bar, bro. They might need a bottle of water. Like, you don't need to ask them, they need it, you know? So just give it to them, you know? And those things go a long way, because it ain't easy to do 8 or 9 sessions in a row. It's not easy to have a thankless job, you know? We have detail agents, they clean the facilities. Anatomy is known for being a clean facility.
Yeah.
It's because of them.
Right.
They work their butts off, you know? So.
I love how one thing that I always have respected and noticed is how you treat every single employee. Yeah. That it's not about you, and it's not about a superstar trainer. It's everyone is a team, and you really showcase that in a beautiful way. And it's very obvious why y'all are successful, because team is first, culture is first. Mm-hmm. And it's something to sit back and admire. It's something to take notes on. And I'm always very impressed with just how you run things and how you do things. We're certainly in the fitness world, we're all taking notes and we're all trying to, you know, keep up. And I would say, I know this happens with me, every location I get better, right? It's like every location we do, we see where we made the mistakes. We see what we kind of forgot to check this box and that box. And so do you feel that way too? Like as you grow and as you do new locations, you kind of learn from that and then apply it to the next location?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
But as I've said before, I mean, you probably won't find me like walking through the, well, maybe the locker room or something, but you're not gonna find me like touching walls and going, this wall should be fixed like this. No, but it's not like, and believe me, it's not that we don't care. We all care about the fine details. It's just that there's so much to do that if I have my hand in your responsibilities, maybe I'm, what if I take my eyes off what I'm supposed to be doing?
Exactly.
There's so much to do. It's like, you have to like, or not you, but I remind myself like, unless all my responsibilities and the things that I'm supposed to be doing are absolutely perfect, which is never gonna happen, I can't really say anything. Now, we share opinions, we talk, like, okay, hey, Mark, what do you think of this?
Right.
And I'll say, Chris, what do you think of this? Randy, what do you think of this? Like, smart people, like you'd be foolish not to ask, you know? Of course you ask. I mean, this week there was something going on and I asked Chris, I said, hey, I need your thoughts on this, what do you think? And it's usually we think the same kind of thing. The answer may seem obvious, but remember, I know what I know. I don't know what he knows.
Yeah.
I need to know what he knows. I need to know what he thinks. And same thing, like Randy, smart guy. David is an ultra smart human being. Like,
and where did David come from?
David is Harvard. Okay. And then,
first thing.
I would say that. I would say there's only one guy in the room that went to Harvard. Listen to David, right?
You might want to listen to him.
But I mean, but he's worked for American Express. He's worked for Equinox for many years.
Okay.
He's just he's worked with a lot of fitness brands. So you know, the people thing we do together, like culture and all that. But, you know, there's a lot of the systems that we have and things like, he did it.
Yeah.
You can take credit away from people. Like, but you ask, you talk, what are your thoughts? Because sometimes I'm like, I know I got to do this. I'm doing this. And then I go, wait a minute. Sometimes it's just good to do the drill. What do you think? And then you go, okay, I'm glad I asked because I was about to run through this wall. And it's like, that would have been a bad move.
Yeah.
Right. So that's really the most important part. The fact that you can have great conversations, find wonderful solutions and get different perspectives. Right.
Yep.
Like we always think like, you know, have the awareness, like, I know I really, 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 really believe I'm right, but I've been wrong before,
right?
You know, so
exactly.
You know, it's likely, probable that I might be wrong again. So.
It always cracks me up when I know I'm right, and then I'm wrong. I always go
shit.
It's like, oh shit. Oops. Yeah. But then, for me, one thing that I feel like is very important is when you recognize you're wrong or made a mistake, you got to own it. Own it.
Oh, yeah.
Get ahead of it. Apologize. Have a little bit of self-awareness and then move on.
Yeah, yeah. You know? That's huge, by the way. Because it works both ways.
Yeah.
If you don't own it, you look like an idiot.
You look like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Denial is like probably one of the worst things people can do is when they deny when they're wrong. Like it's like, you gotta own it. You gotta be like, hey, I messed up.
Yeah.
I made a mistake, but I'll make it right the next time. You know, just don't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a theme for last week. We talked about, look, I'm the first to admit that's on me, man. I made that mistake. And so that was on me. I need to be on top of that. But I'm not ashamed to admit I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Like I make a lot of mistakes, man. I'm pretty open about like, okay, that was on me. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna learn from it, process it. I'm not gonna feel bad about it and say and get on myself. I'm gonna say, all right, let's move forward.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a mistake repeater. I remember I was sitting in a linebacker room, the New York Jets, and the linebacker coach, Al Groh, he goes, I saw that when you saw that guard pull, you ran straight up field and tried to fill that hole. And he said, and you know, when that guard pulls, you need to run to the sideline. So we didn't practice. I screwed it up. Then we played against the Packers. And I did it. I did the same thing. And he looked at me and he goes, what are we not going to be, Mark? And I said, mistake repeaters. He goes, well, that ship has sailed for you. He goes, that ship has sailed for you. We're going to give you another shot. I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God. But anyway.
That's a great.
Yeah, we always say, try not to be a mistake repeater. Just learn from it. Move forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I know people love advice, and I know you said your main advice is to find out, you know, from them, like what they, you know, what's important to them and things like that. But I would say you still have some good little gems inside of you, you know, through your experience and through what you've been through. And I know in Miami specifically, and probably across the world, there's a lot of people that look up to you and follow you and pay attention to you. And so to these people that are gonna be watching this and paying attention to, you know, what's Mark saying? What can I take from this? I would love just to hear your kind of like rules of life or what works for you, you know, like, because there are, like I said, there are anchors. There's a reason why you are where you are. It's not, this didn't happen by accident, you know? And I think there was pivots along the way. You probably didn't think you would be doing one thing and then you pivoted to another thing, right? Yeah. But on that journey, what sticks out to you that has enabled you to get closer to where you want to be, right? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. How much time do you have?
I know it's long, but.
Yeah. No. So, you know, I, you know, you'll be different parts of our life. I remember when I was super young boy, and we carry it with us, right?
Yeah.
I was a super out of shape, fat, super insecure, low self-esteem kid. And I wanted to find that. And the way I would compensate for that was, well, if I can become super fit and be an athlete, well, then I'll get respected for the way I look, and I'll get appreciated for the way I'm a great athlete. So I worked really hard to get those things. And I felt like I'd be a football player my whole life. And I played high school, college, NFL Canada, NFL Europe. And then that ended. You know, you're 31 years old, it's over, you gotta restart. And I say, like, you know, the disciplinary things, the habits, like, yeah, those things are positive. But I've said it before, I couldn't live my life like that. That's not normal.
Yeah.
Like, you don't bring like violent aggression to work. You get,
well,
you know.
Well, we thought we did, right? Yeah. That's how we thought.
You either fail or be in jail.
Exactly.
But I, you know, recently someone asked me about that, and I said, you know, I have to forget those things because those things do not help me. They actually hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned from the leaders, the coaches, and there was a few coaches like my college coach, Jim Reed. I wanted to be him because he was such a hard worker and so loved and respected and hard on people, but in a loving way. And I was like, man, if I could be a quarter of him in my life, I'm gonna have success. And I had to learn all these new skill sets to, you know, to be a better communicator, to listen, to pay attention to someone's body psychology, to pay attention, what are they really saying? If they're talking about themselves a lot, yeah, they're insecure too.
Right.
If they're telling you what they've done, they have low self-esteem. You know it, okay, at least you know it, and maybe you want to make them feel better. Or maybe you just want to know who they are. If you pay attention, the person in front of you will tell you who they are. You just need to pay attention, right? So learning those new skill sets and listening and paying attention to people's behavior, that helped me tremendously. And then, you know, figuring out what I wanted, you know, what was important to me. And, you know, I truly believe that I had to go through all those things. If I didn't go through those things, I wouldn't be in doing the things that I'm doing today. Like, I needed to feel that. Like,
yeah.
You can't ask someone to be a hard worker and push and grind. Oh, everyone sees that word, and like, just get after it and like, be disciplined and push yourself if they've never had to do it. I had to go through all those things, and I had to not only struggle, but fail and be disappointed, you know?
Yeah.
So now I get to work with so many great people, young and older. And I think that, you know, I'm not crazy religious, but I am religious and I believe in God, and I believe he put me in this position for a reason. And I believe he put me in this position because I've, not only have I earned it, but I want to help people. I want, you know, I like seeing you have great success. I do like seeing you have great success. I want us to have great success, but I like seeing you have great success. Like, it doesn't, I don't get upset.
Yeah.
Like, I like seeing people have success. It doesn't anger me. Like, I don't need everyone to lose for me to win.
Right.
You know, and there's people out there.
Yeah, there's people out there that's how they live their life.
Like, if someone does something well, I'm happy for them, you know, and I don't mind celebrating them. I don't. I think just taking my time and not thinking I have all the answers, because it's easy for me to look at you and walk, you know, a space and say, he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I think I know what I'm doing. Like, but you're going to do it your way.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that you're where you are, you know? And who knows? There's a reason you are where you are, but you also know that there's things that you've done in your life that made it a little bit harder, that made it take a little bit longer.
Right.
By the way, same.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, we, as you said before, we don't want to repeat those mistakes. And, you know, I heard you say it. You said, you know, you get frustrated because the person that you knew 5-7 years ago thinks they're dealing with the Manny from 5 or 7 years ago. I listened.
Yeah.
And you're not the same person.
Right.
And you need to tell them, but I take responsibility for the things they did 5 or 7 years ago.
100%.
You know, and that's like,
and
that's,
you kind of, you understand.
Yeah.
Like, and I hope that came across right. Like, I understand why they are treating me that way, because that's all they know,
right?
It goes back to you only know what you know. Because if you haven't been around me in 5 years, you're not gonna know who I am now.
And so they have to be open enough to give you an opportunity to show you something different.
Exactly.
And you have to make good on it, right?
Right. So, you can't show them an inkling of the old you, or then they're like, oh, you haven't changed.
Yeah, because like, you want to be better, and you can't ask people to become their best self if you're not becoming your best self.
100%. And what would you say your, you know, this is kind of a little cliche, but I mean, I think, what is your why? I know that's, again, it's something that we've probably all read the book and whatever, but it's like, for me, I would love to hear out of you, because again, we're different, you know, like we are different. We're on similar paths, but we're also different in a lot of ways. So, you know, what is Mark's why?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is Legacy Fit?
Yeah, or Legacy Now.
Legacy.
AKA, formerly known as Legacy
Fit. So in the future, maybe you say, how are you going to leave a legacy?
Yes, that's a good one. There you go, nice.
You're welcome.
So, we'll edit this part where he's giving me advice, and then let me reword the question.
So
that was awesome.
So, you know, I think back, I didn't know my father. I remember a few experiences with him when I was super young. But my father's stepfather was a man named Abe White. And I have this picture. So the stepfather wasn't blood. But there's a picture of him, and I'm sitting on his lap, and there's like 20 grandkids around him.
So that would be like your step-grandfather, kind of?
Yeah.
That right?
Exactly, okay. exactly. He was a—
Do you remember him?
Oh my God. I remember everything about him because he was like a really present man in my life.
Oh,
like,
wow, all right.
Yeah, he was wonderful. He was the one who showed me how to lift weights. But he was a Jewish man, World War II war veteran.
Wow.
And there's pictures of like him in the war and stuff, like all over his office. And I remember when he would talk, and he was such a positive, kind war hero. And I remember the way our entire city and community like looked up to him. And I was like, man, I want to be like him, you know? And I remember thinking like, why do people want to be like him? Why do I want to be? Because he's nice.
Yeah.
Because he's kind, because he helps people. That doesn't mean he wasn't tough.
Right.
Like, he was very tough, but he was also like a good man. Like, he used to give strange kids from high school, he'd give me a ride home. He gave like 5 kids rides all over the city. He doesn't even know them.
Right.
And that's— I was amazing. Like, why does he? I said, why do you do that?
Yeah.
He's like, well, because they need help. Like, he didn't even blink.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be like him. Like, I want to be remembered like that. Like, that's really important to me. And I think that, you know, you're in a position to help a lot of people. And you gotta, we
right.
people are body architects at Anatomy. We talk about this all the time. You gotta be super careful how you conduct yourself. Like, you're not only are you on stage, but you have so much power to impact people. So
we say it all the time, like people come to us way more than they go to the doctor.
Oh yeah.
They go to their dentist. That like people see their trainers and their coaches and go to their gyms on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Whereas we go to our doctors once a year, you know? Yeah, so it's a lot of responsibility, a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I mean, my why is like,
or what is your legacy? Yeah, sorry, reframe it.
What is your legacy? How you want to, I want to leave this world better than the way I found it. And then my friendships, you know, really, like if we just friends, what's up, bro? That ain't enough for me.
No.
That's not. Like, yeah. I want to like, you know, if something was going on in your life and I could listen or maybe help, I'd like to do that. You know why? Selfishly, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And then maybe someday I'll need you to return the favor. So I think life's too short, you know? So why don't we, I want to leave this place better than the way I found it. And then our team, and I want everyone to be better because I was there. That really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So, and I want my son to have a great example, because growing up, I say it all the time and I shouldn't say that, but I say, you know, until college, with the exception of my grandfather,
yeah,
there were not a lot of men in my family that I wanted to be like. Like, there weren't a lot of men, like, if they were, they just super unhealthy, cigarettes, drinkers, alcoholics, gamblers. And I was like, why are these people a mess? Right? I didn't know what it was, but it wasn't until college when I met Jim Reed, like my grandfather, but outside the family, that college coach, I was like, I want to be like him, because he was fit, he was positive, he had a family, he was a good father, the team thought the world of him.
Yeah.
He actually did the things that he said, and you never, like, I was there 5 years, every day, I never caught him not living what he said. Not once.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's, you know, amazing.
And he coached for like 45 years.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Yeah. So Where is he?
I had him on a podcast.
Is he still coaching?
He's coaching now. He was the linebacker coach for the Dolphins and Joey Porter.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, the guy's intense, yeah. but he's also super caring.
But I love the fact that I like the fact that you said you want to help people and the people in your life that kind of were your examples of that were still tough.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think there's a connotation that being tough is not being nice, yeah. right? And I think it's the opposite. I think when you hold people accountable and you challenge people, I think challenging people to be better than they are is love. It is helping, yeah. it, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you're not doing that, then you're allowing someone to be a version of themselves that is just being. It's not growing, it's yeah. not becoming. And yeah, so I think both of us are on this earth to set an example yeah. of what that looks like
yeah.
and being available to people that need yeah. us, that are in our circle. And I want you to know that, like, I know we have similar schedules and we're very busy, but I am available, you know what I mean, to you. And if you ever get in those, you know, moments where you need to reach out, you know, just know that I'm here. And would love to be that person for you as well. And now you're a dad, so there's gonna be moments where you're gonna have these dad moments too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, sure.
But let's
yeah, for sure.
You know,
absolutely
lean into that.
I agree. I mean, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Like, I think holding people accountable is a form of love.
Yes.
I do agree with that. Yeah. And then, but I also agree with, you know, if you're just, I think being tough is good, but if you're always hammering people, you're a hammer and everyone's a nail.
Yeah. Right? There has to be a push and pull,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, so. When people say you're tough and you're an asshole, it's not a conspiracy. They think that for a reason.
Yeah.
So if you're tough, but you never tell them what they're doing well, if you never tell them that you appreciate them, if you never look them in the eye and say thank you, then you are an asshole.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
You know, that goes back to the balance conversation, but you can hold anyone accountable. And by the way, what I've learned is that most people want to be held accountable.
That's so true.
You know, they
That's the foundation of personal trainers, really.
Yeah.
People aren't hiring you to count their reps. They're hiring you to hold them accountable. Yeah. You know,
I agree with that. And then you make sure that, you know, there's people in your life that you know, I can't tell you how many times I go days or weeks and I go, I haven't thanked my wife. I need to thank my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and when I thank her, I go, that felt good to me. And I know she appreciated it. And it's genuine because we couldn't do what we do without them.
100%.
So, and we also found special human beings, right?
Yeah.
That's very rare. Look where we are in Miami, finding someone who cares about you for you.
Yeah.
Whew, that's hard.
That's hard anywhere in the world. I mean, and I like what you said, loving you for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not what you have or not who you are or who literally genuinely who you are.
Yeah, for sure.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Yeah, accepting
it. Yeah, accepting
and
it.
That, you know, there's no perfect situation or relationship and they just truly care about you.
Well, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
And I know you got a million.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me on, really.
And
thank you.
We'll do it. We'll do it again. We have some big announcements, you know, we'll circle back. And
yeah, yeah.
Because I know you got a lot of stuff cooking up that you can't talk about yet.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
How do you like the water?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Specifically,
it's really good, right?
Yeah.
So it's reverse osmosis with added essential minerals. It's a little bit more essential minerals than some.